Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday, August the 28th. And welcome to our commentary. As we like to do on Sundays, we'll go back and take a look at some of the posts that I posted, my post over at the American Thinker. I'm kind of repeating myself here. But the articles that I posted over at the American Thinker during the week, as many of you know, I post at the American Thinker. And if you are the kind of person who likes to read good conservative postings and conservative opinions, check out the American Thinker. It's absolutely a wonderful website. Let me say hello to my friend there checking in from South Texas, I believe. Welcome aboard. Well, last week, as we always like to do, my articles at the American Thinker are usually about something that is going on in current events. So that's why we focus on something going on that day. So we began the week on Monday with an article about the Prime Minister of Finland. You may be familiar with this case. She's a young woman in her mid-30s. I think she's sort of left-center. I'm not sure exactly what her politics are. But anyway, she decided to have a big party. And somebody, I guess, took a bunch of videos of the prime minister in some, let's just say, not the most responsible position for a prime minister. And it got all over the internet. And, of course, it got her in some trouble. Whether or not this is going to result in her resignation, I guess I don't know because I'm not up to speed on what happens in Finland. But no question, it raises some questions about her seriousness as a person, especially now that Finland is asking for membership in NATO. So, you know, Finland, it used to be for a long time that Finland was this nice little country up in, I guess, the Scandinavian part of Europe, but not anymore, because they may be part of NATO here pretty soon, which means that we're going to have to defend them if they become part of NATO. So whoever is running that country is a little bit more important now than it used to be maybe years ago. And this woman, the prime minister, she's a married woman, has, I believe, a child. And she was at a party acting like a 17-year-old at a Animal Farm movie, if you remember that movie from a few years ago. So it didn't show a lot of common sense. And what will happen to her, I don't know. It's really not that important to me what happens to the prime minister of Finland. But again, it is important to me that there's a serious person running Finland because they may be part of NATO here pretty soon. They've applied for NATO and more than likely will get it. So having a serious person running Finland is all of a sudden a matter of, potentially could be a matter of war and peace. On Tuesday, we wrote about the violence in Mexico. The violence in Mexico, if you've been following the TV, and it doesn't even have to be the Spanish TV, if you've been following the TV, you will see that Mexican cities have been hit by some very harsh violence. Now, a lot of it is cartel versus cartel fighting for territory. That is what most of it is. But the bottom line is that these cities are in deep trouble. You've got automobiles burning. You've got businesses that are shut down. And it's become a real problem. So on Tuesday, I wrote an article calling on the president of Mexico to get serious about this, to get very, very serious about the violence in his country, because he's not projecting that urgency or seriousness. And that's the problem that I have with it. I'm not blaming him for the violence. The violence is the complicated outcome of cartels fighting cartels. Unfortunately, the violence or the growth of these cartels is also related to the fact that our border is wide open and they're bringing in people and drugs into the United States, and it's become an even bigger business than it used to be. So Mexico has to take this more seriously than they have taken it so far. And it begins with the president of Mexico. He has got to address the nation and talk about this problem because it is a very serious problem that could undermine, really, the sovereignty of Mexico as a nation. On Wednesday, we shifted tone a little bit and moved to Russia. You know, something very interesting is happening in Russia. They have a baby problem. This is, of course, not just the Russian problem. Many European countries have this problem too. They're not having enough babies. So in Russia, Prime Minister Putin, is he president or prime minister? I'm not sure. But anyway, Mr. Putin decided to do something and encourage women to have babies. So they signed into law, or he signed into law, or maybe an executive order, I'm not sure, basically calling on women in Russia to have more babies. And if you have 10 babies, the Russian state will give you $16,000, or the equivalent of $16,000, and will also recognize you with some recognition on the part of the Russian government for very, very special people. So they need babies in the Soviet Union, not the Soviet Union, but Russia. They need babies, and they're not having them. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that, but they're not having enough babies, and as is happening in other European countries, not having enough babies creates all kinds of problems in your country, none more important than you don't have new people coming in to support the older people who are retiring. And that does become a political and social problem for many of these countries. On Thursday, we shifted a bit to recession. You know, there's some bad economic news that came out on Thursday with respect to inflation. And on Thursday, also, the head of the Federal Reserve, Mr. Powell, said that interest rates were going to go up to take care of the inflation. And that had a very negative impact, of course, on the country. But also on Thursday, what also prompted the talk of the recession was the fact that we learned more about house sales. Home sales are coming down. Companies are laying off people or making announcements that they're going to lay off people. So all of this amounted to a little talk of recession. And that's what we wrote about on Thursday, the fact that a recession, if it's not already here, it's coming in the short run. On Friday, we went back to Mexico to talk once again about the violence in Mexico, and this time to focus on journalists who are being killed in Mexico in record numbers. 15 journalists have already been killed in Mexico this year. That's a frightening number when you think about it. 15, most of them representing newspapers and media companies in the interior of the country. And they become easy targets, of course, for the criminal elements because they're unguarded, they're unprotected, they're driving home. And that's when, unfortunately, these criminal elements attack these people and kill these people. So it's a very sad situation. This sort of ties into my earlier point or the earlier post of the week about the violence in Mexico. Mexico is a very violent country right now. And I have said it many times that this is threatening the sovereignty of the country. And I'm not saying the country is going to collapse. I'm not going that far. But clearly, more and more people are in Mexico are scared. And if you're a member of the news media in Mexico, you have more reasons to be scared because they're shooting you down. 15 of them have been already shot down. And here, we're not done with the month of August yet. So they're killing about a journalist a month, more than that, down in Mexico. And that's a pretty scary situation. On Saturday, we discussed something that is happening in California in the Bay Area. There's an area there in the Bay Area called Castro Valley, which is a county or a section near the Bay Area. And the business people in that part of San Francisco, or the Bay Area, I should say, not San Francisco, have basically said to the city council or the city government, if you're not going to clean the city, if you're not going to protect us from all these crazy people who are threatening our businesses and making our lives difficult, we're not going to pay our taxes. We're just not going to pay our taxes if you're not doing your job. And you know, you wonder if something like this could actually take off in other cities. I know that in Baltimore last year, members of the business community wrote a letter to the local government and said, look, we're not going to pay taxes. If you're not going to let the police do their job, we're not going to pay taxes. And this could be something happening I should say, in many of these blue cities where, you know, the crime is completely out of control. I mean, if you live in some of these blue cities, you know, you cannot control the way the criminals are acting because the local government, the local DAs have simply tied the hands of the police and they're letting the criminals run free. Well, the one way to stop it, one way you can vote against these people, but an even more effective way is what they're doing in Castro Valley California, where they're simply saying, we're not going to pay our taxes. You know, if you're not going to do your job, we're not going to do ours. And that, I think, could take off. I think you could see other cities do something, or other regions of the country do something similar. And finally, on today, Sunday, we wrote about another anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech. It was on this day in 1963, August 28, 1963, that Reverend Martin Luther King delivered probably his most famous speech, I Have a Dream. And to paraphrase that speech, he said he wanted people to judge his children based on their character, not the color of their skin. And, you know, that was such an important message. I think, Dr. King really hit a nerve with the American people when he said that. Because I really do believe that that became, in many ways, the mandate. That became the calling for our generation and the civil rights movement that followed that great speech. But here lately, it seems to me that the civil rights movement, or portions of it, have gone woke. And now we are focusing more on race than we are on character. For example, as I write in my article, up in Minneapolis, you have the teachers union basically saying, we're going to fire white people first. And you have American Express, you know, the company American Express, right now they're caught up in a lawsuit because some of the white employees are saying, you're discriminating against me because I'm white. So it's sad, but those wonderful words of Dr. King 59 years ago, people have forgotten that message. And the message is very clear. Judge me on my character, not the skin color. And I think a lot of people in the left, in the so-called woke movement, have forgotten that. And that is why, unfortunately, we have, I think, many problems. And you're going to see a lot of lawsuits. I really believe that you're going to see a lot of lawsuits from many of these companies where these woke policies are really starting to hurt people. And they're focusing too much on race rather than your performance on the job or your character as a person. So there you have it, my post over at the American Thinker for the last week. If you want to follow me on the American Thinker, just check the website, americanthinker.com. My posts are usually on the right-hand side. They usually go up in the morning, and you can like them over there, or you can also follow me or follow them, because I post them over at my blog as well as my Facebook page. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and my good friend has a comment here about, you know, city services. You're right. We need to hold some of these city governments accountable for what they're doing. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.